Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. Hope you can be back at 5 o'clock. And our lesson today is a continuation from last Sunday night. We began a series on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. There's so much in those chapters. And so last time we saw that what's going on there, by kind of jumping ahead in the context, the Corinthians felt that they had come short in one of the spiritual gifts, particularly speaking in tongues. Paul had told them in chapter 1, you came behind in no gift. And then in chapter 12, when he got to their request about the tongues, he said, now, concerning spiritual gifts, he said, there are different gifts, and the Holy Spirit has given different people different gifts. To one, the gift of wisdom, to one, the gift of knowledge, or the word of wisdom, to another miracles, to another healing, to another prophecy. And at the end, he said tongues and speaking in tongues. And he gave the example from the body. You wouldn't want your whole body to be an eyeball. You wouldn't want your whole body to be a hand. There needs to be a nose. There needs to be an ear. There needs to be a foot. And so different people have different things, and they shouldn't be envious that they want a different body part. Then it ended with a section that points to the magnificent section we're going to be talking today about love. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the very end of it. He says in verse 29, just continuing this point, that not everybody is going to have every gift. Are all apostles? And of course not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Desire earnestly the greater gifts. And when we get to chapter 14, he'll talk about the value of prophecy especially. But moreover, a most excellent way I showed you. And that leads us into chapter 13. Chapter 13, where he says this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So what's his point? His point is you're missing the thing that you really need. What you think you need is not what you need. And so beginning today, we're going to spend a few lessons on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to get into this discussion of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when he describes love, the first two qualities that we'll be looking at this morning are this. Love is patient and love is kind. So here's our text. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's noise. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now stop and think back to what we've seen previously in Corinthians. How were the Corinthians behaving? They were suing each other in court, chapter 6. They were full of envy and strife, chapter 3. They're divided up against each other, chapter 1. They're not addressing sin in the congregation, chapter 5. They're ignoring the poor, chapter 11. They're not waiting for each other for the Lord's Supper, chapter 11. They're seeking their own. Well, I ought to be able to go down to the idol temple. And they're not being concerned about how that affects other people. Over and over and over, their immature behavior and their worldly behavior that was more Corinthian than Christian showed that too many of them were lacking what? They didn't have love. And these are the people. I want you to imagine you're the Apostle Paul. You're sitting at Ephesus. You care about these people. You worked a year and a half with these people. And you find out they're divided up. I'm Paul. I'm Apollos. They're full of envy and strife. they're all these things, and they're mistreating each other and suing each other, and the selfishness and the immaturity. And now you've got a letter from them, and it says, what we need is more tongue speaking. Understanding that helps us understand why chapter 13 is written. That is not what you need. And even if you had it, let's suppose you could speak in French and Latin and Egyptian and Libyan and Chinese and whatever else, and even whatever language angels would speak in. Let's suppose you could do all that. If you're still where you're at, lacking love, it's no better than just a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And it's not just that. If you've got prophetic powers, if you understand everything and have all this faith, but you don't have love, nothing. And if you are so generous, you have given away so much money, you've given away everything you have and gave your body to be burned. But if you don't have love, it gains nothing. Nothing. So that's what he's trying to get them to see, and that's what we need to see as well. We're going to do some exercises this morning about love and look at some of these things. He defines love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And most of that list is things that earlier in the letter he said they are. For example, the one there, arrogant. If you have the King James or the American Standards, your word there is puff up. And that's literally the idea from the Greek. It's like inflated. You ever seen a puffer fish? You know, he's not a very big fish, but if somebody comes along and wants to eat him, he wants to look big. So what does he do? Now, if you want to have a puffer fish for supper, you're going to find out how it's just puffed up. And so this puffed up. Puffed up is only used 4 or 5 times in the whole Bible. And all but one is right here in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 4, he used that same word. He said, some of you are puffed up. In chapter 5, he said, you've got this man with his father's wife, and instead of mourning, you are puffed up. You get to chapter 13, and Paul says, love is what you need, and love is not puffed up. In chapter 8 through 10, about they wanted to go to the idol temple so they could get to eat the meats and engage in the feasts and social activities in the idol temple, but not really worship the idol. He said, how's that going to affect the people that see you? How's that going to affect other people's consciences and stuff? He said, don't be seeking your own. Look to what's good for others. Doesn't insist on its own way in that type of thing. In chapter 3, he said, you're full of envy. Love doesn't envy. So this is a list, basically, to the Corinthians. Love doesn't do what you're doing. That's not what love is. So we're going to look at the first one here, patient. If you've got the King James, New King James, or American Standard, you've got suffers or suffereth, long. New American Standard, ESV, have patient. Young's Literal has long suffering. And the Greek word for it, it means to be of long spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere patiently and bravely, enduring misfortunes and troubles. And in how we relate to other people, which is especially the focus here, to be patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging, to be long-suffering, slow to anger, slow to punish. So he says, love is patient. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast, etc. As we go through this, we're going to, in a few minutes, read the text. And I'm not going to be reading it. I want everybody to open your Bible and read the text yourself. And there's a self-exam you can do with this text, and it works very easily. If I read this text and I take out the word love and I put in the word scoffed, some of it is easy to read, and there's a couple of points that are not easy to read because I'm not that good at those things. I've improved at those things. I've been working on those things, but I still need to keep working on them. And so this passage, like lots of times, preachers, we start stepping on our own toes and work outward. I need this passage, and a lot of you need this passage, and I don't know which spot in here you might need to work on, but I'll tell you how you can find out which spots you need to work on, and that's read the list and put your own name in it. Because, for example, if I say, well, let's come back to there. If I say, Scott is patient, Scott is kind, Scott does not envy, Scott does not boast, Scott is not arrogant, Scott is not rude, Scott does not insist on his own way, Scott is not irritable, Scott is not resentful, Scott does not rejoice at wrongdoing, Scott rejoices with the truth. Some of those ring really true. And some of those are hard for me to say because too often that's not what Scott has been. And so if you read that through and put your own name in there, you might find out, you might say, yeah, I don't boast. I'm not arrogant. I'm not rude. I don't insist my own way. But you might get to envy and say, it's hard for me to say I'm not envious because you're an envious person. Or if it's any of these, you know, whichever one might be the ones that you need to focus on. So I want everybody to take a moment, look at your Bible. Don't be looking up here. Look at your Bible and read these verses, verse 4, 5, and 6, and put your own name in there and just read it to yourself. Okay, look back up when you're done. All right. Did you notice that some of those rang really true? Did you see any in there that when you read it, it didn't sound like a constant description of yourself? That's the part in this text that you need to work on. Like there are parts in this text that I need to work on. Whatever, when you said it, I'm not this, and you think, oh man, sometimes that's exactly, you know, what I've been. That's what we need to work on. Because what does it mean? It means when we're doing that, you know what we're lacking? It's not that we're lacking speaking in tongues. It's that we're lacking love in those regards. And some of us can be loving in one category, but by reason of habit or character flaw, we're not loving in another category. And the love that God calls us to, it's not a buffet. It's not you get to pick two of these. You know, let's see, I'll go with not rejoicing at wrongdoing and not rude. And those would be my two. No, you can't do that. This is what we're all supposed to be. So we're going to work on patience today and kindness. The servant fell on his knees, imploring him. These are examples of this word in the Bible. Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. You remember this story. The king brings the fellow before him. He owes all this money. He can't pay it. And what does he want? Patience. The king gives him patience, but then he goes out, and his fellow servant wanted what? Patience. He would not. 1 Thessalonians 5, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. God made a promise to Abraham saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you, and thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. When did he get it? The Hebrews said he died before he got it. What does that say? Patience. James 5, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. They were able to do some irrigation in fields in the past where you had gravity and things, but they didn't have electric pumps and different things that we can do. And so I want you to think about what it was like to be a farmer back then and how dependent you were on rain. Okay? The very nature of farming has a lot of lessons in it. Adam's told what? You're going to have to, you know, face the thorns and the thistles and by the sweat of your brow. And you have to do all that work in the spring and over the summer for what? For a harvest to come. Most of us are not farmers. Most of us, how do we get our chicken? You know, on a piece of styrofoam, the feathers are off, you know, a lot of time the bones are out, everything's ready to go. That's not how God made chickens. You know, they got to have their heads chopped off, you got to get the feathers out, you got to get it chopped up and everything. And we want, and a lot of people now, that's too much trouble. You don't go to the store and buy the chicken already prepared. We want the chicken what? Drive through the window and say, you know, give me that chicken sandwich. We want it right. And if the drive-through line has four or five cars in it, we're what? We're used to getting everything. You know, we complain if we're getting information that 30 years ago would be inconceivable that you would just have instant access to, and it took it 15 seconds to download, and we're like, we're so used to getting everything when we want it. Has it made us better people? The farmer has to do what? Work, 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 work. And he does all that work. He does all the plowing, all the getting the rocks out of the field, all that work early on. When is he going to get the benefit? A long time later. We need to have patience. And we need to have patience with each other. We need to wait with patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one with another in love. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, and patience. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. Who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Here's some quotations on it. The more you ask how much longer it will take, the longer the journey seems. You know, if you've ever driven with kids in the back of the car, you know, that sounds familiar, right? Here's an Arabic proverb. The remedy against bad times is to have patience with them. Can you make bad times not happen? Can we be patient during bad times? Is it easy to be patient? You know, for some of you who are, that's one of your qualities, it's fairly easy to be patient. For some of us who that doesn't come as easily, it's not as easy to be patient, but we're still required to be what? Patient. It takes time and patience, but if you develop the habit of using forceful, positive self-talk rebuttals to your negative mind chatter, you will soon see a shift in your mind chatter, how you feel and what you do. Because we can have conversations with ourselves, can't we? We can get frustrated and annoyed, and we can complain. Even if nobody else wants to listen to our complaining, we can be complaining to ourselves, right? If you are sitting with someone else, and I see Jack over there laughing. So suppose you and Jacob are sitting there, and you just start talking with each other about how everybody else annoys you too, right? And you're, oh, you know what's annoying about him? Yeah, yeah. And the other, yeah, that's annoying. And you know what else is annoying? Yeah. And you get to going, and anybody you know, you both focus on anything you can find annoying about them. By the time you get done, you'll be able to harvest a bunch of things, fair or not, and what's your attitude then toward those people, right? But we can do that right up here without even talking to anybody else. We can be having this mind chatter going of a negativeness that works against patience. Patience is not the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. You're going to have to wait. If you're stuck in traffic jam, you know, on the beltway, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to wait. That's not the question. If you're, you know, scheduled for a flight and it gets delayed 3 hours and you're stuck there at the airport, you're going to have to wait. The question is, with what attitude? Aristotle, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. Patience is choosing to control your emotions rather than letting your emotions control you. A moment of patience in a moment of anger saves 100 moments of regret. And Publius Syrus said back around the time of Christ, he was a Latin writer, anyone can steer the ship when the sea is calm. Right? The bigger mark is how we do when things aren't calm. And then there's this, which reminds us of the parable of the unmerciful servant. Have patience with me and I'll pay you all. Okay, you're forgiven. Then he goes out and won't have patience with somebody else. And what did the parable say? When the king, or when the master finds out that he would not have patience with the other, what did he do? He withdrew his forgiveness of death and delivered him to the torturers. When you're tempted to lose patience with someone, think about how patient God has been with you. Has God been patient with us? If we are prone to be impatient sometimes, let me ask this question. Would we want God to be as impatient with us as we have been impatient with other people? By the way, I was going to go over patience and kindness, but looking at the clock, we're not going to do kindness today. We'll do that in another one, but we'll finish up patience. So be patient. Questions regarding impatience. What good has being impatient brought us? Just think back of times we've just really been impatient, and how did that make things better? Did it make things better? Doesn't make things better. What are we telling ourselves when we are being impatient? Who are we focused on pretty much entirely when we are being impatient? How are we viewing others when we are being impatient? And we might say, well, they've got it coming. They shouldn't have slowed me down or gotten my way or bothered me or offended me or something else. Or sometimes, maybe it's not even their fault. You ever seen somebody chew out and just really come down hard on a waitress because the food came wrong out of the kitchen? It's not even her fault. But even if it is impatience effective? How does our impatience affect others? How does our impatience affect ourselves? And let's remember the context of 1 Corinthians 13. If we don't have love, does it matter how much money we've given to the poor, or how much we know, or how well we can speak in tongues? Does any of that matter if we don't have love? And what is love? Patience. Here's an easy one. Do we wish others to be patient with us or impatient? That doesn't mean we don't want to be rebuked sometimes. That doesn't mean we don't need people to hold us accountable sometimes.
patience doesn't, like,
for instance, in 1 Corinthians 5, the man's having sex with his father's wife. Did Paul say, oh, just be patient with that? No, there need to be rebuke. There need to be a stand against that. That's a different thing. Patience doesn't mean that you're justifying what's wrong. But impatience comes from a lack of love. And it comes from selfishness. And that's really, isn't selfishness the opposite of love? Love is kind is where we'll pick up in our next lesson in this series. But before we do the invitation song, I want to come back and just emphasize this one with a song, and I'll put these words up here. Number 99, I want us to sing, and then we'll sing the invitation song. Just this part, we won't sing the more chorus type ending there about love bears all things, but let's sing just the first part. And let's focus on this. And as we go through this series, there's some things down here at the bottom that if you've got those in the way, they're going to interfere with patience and kindness. For instance, if we've got envy or we're resentful or we rejoice at wrongdoing, it's going to be hard to be patient and kind. But this is a package deal. Some of those things have to be gotten out of there. If you see a poor man and he's got no food and it would be kind to give him a sandwich, it's going to be harder to be kind to give him a sandwich if you were also wanting to beat him up and kick him in the face. You got to get rid of that to get the other in place. But let's sing this song, and then after that, we'll have the invitation song, and whoever needs to respond.